Normally, on a Sunday, I tend to focus on the gospel reading and often try to make the connection to the first reading. It's less frequent that I talk about the second reading. Probably don't do that here enough. But I'd like to focus today on that second reading. The reading from the letter of St. Paul to the church at Philippi. The letter to the church at Philippi was probably written somewhere around the year 55. That means 20 years, 22 years maybe, after the resurrection. So it reflects very much the belief and the teaching that was going on at that time. Now, some scripture scholars think that the latter part of the reading we had today, the part that begins with "your attitude must be that of Christ," that may actually be a hymn that St. Paul incorporated into his letter. And if that's the case, then it would be probably older than the letter itself, which means it might be reflecting 10 to 15 years after the resurrection. So we're getting in touch here with the very earliest belief of our church. Now that's kind of important because, you know, there are people who say, well, the teachings have changed, or that's not what the apostles taught, or this was brought in by somebody later in the church. And yet, these are the very earliest beliefs that we have. In that letter, St. Paul begins by saying, speaking of Christ, although he was in the form of God, he did not see equality with God, something to be grasped. You know, today, we have people who would say, well, Jesus was a great prophet, he was a great teacher, but just a man. Nothing divine about him. And yet that's not at all what we see in the writings of St. Paul. For St. Paul, he was clear of divine. If you go to the end of that passage, right at the end it says, at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, Paul had been a very strict Jew. And it would have been unheard of in the Jewish customs and traditions to call someone Lord and then to bend the knee in front of such a person. That would have been blasphemy. And yet Paul very clearly tells us that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend and every tongue proclaim that he is Lord. There's no doubt about what St. Paul believes. But he goes on from that. He says, although he was in the form of God, he did not need equality with God, something to be grasped at, but he emptied himself and took the form of a slave. Emptied himself. He who could claim to be God chose to pour himself out, to give of himself. We have the opposite tendency. We who are not God would sometimes like to act like God. We would like to have authority, power, control. We would like to be honored and esteemed. That whole point of pouring ourselves out is almost contrary to our nature. Because our sinful nature wants to glorify ourselves. And yet Jesus, who was and is Son of God, chooses to empty himself, pour himself out. And then it says, he died on the cross. People knew what that meant. In Paul's time, it meant the most horrific, torturous death that they could imagine. It was the most humbling of death, because they were stripped naked. They were hung right on the main roadways that people would see. They were considered a common criminal. And yet Jesus chooses that death, again, to pour himself out. For us, death is something we want to avoid. We spend our lives hoping it comes later, and yet we know that it's going to happen to us. We know that we're not going to be in the future what we are now. We're not going to have what we have now. And yet Jesus chooses to embrace that. Again, pouring himself out, giving us an example. The point Paul is trying to make is that our attitude must become the attitude of Christ. Are we willing to pour ourselves out? And that's a hard thing for us to do, because selfishness is at the core of who we are. We don't naturally, easily give of ourselves. And sometimes we'll find ourselves thinking, oh, I just got to try harder. And yet, we try harder and it doesn't work. But something else has to happen. And that is, we have to open our own hearts up to the very love, the very power of the Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul, in his letter to the Church of Galatia, says, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." That's our challenge. Can we, in a sense, surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ so that his life and his love can live in us? In St. John's Gospel, Jesus talks about the fact that he and the Father would come and dwell with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's that power that can transform us and enable us to be people who pour out our lives. That's why we come to Eucharist. Because we need a power that is greater than us. We need the very life of Christ in us. And that's what we receive when we receive the sacrament of his body and blood. We receive his very life. So that we no longer love just with our power, but we love and we give of ourselves to the power of Christ Jesus that lives in us. That's the challenge of Christian life. To open ourselves up to the very presence of Christ, the very life of Christ in us, to let that life transform us, so that we can become people who love God, and we can become people who love one another and serve one another. Our attitude must be that of Christ. Christ did not cling to his divinity, but took the form of a slave and died the death of a cross. Through his grace, we can be transformed, and we can imitate